serving one another, we've talked about. Today we're going to talk about sharing, and then next week we're going to talk about the pinky, which is stewardship, but it comes all together. So very quickly, there are two words I want you to remember when we talk about God's will for sharing our faith with other people. Now, what happens to us quite often is every time you go to church and someone says, you ought to tell another person how to become a Christian, we all get a Gary guilt trip on real quick. And when we have witnessing classes or things like that, everybody gets upset with us because we are very uncomfortable talking to other people about personal things in our own life. But reality check, the Bible says we're to go into all the world and share this gospel. We're to make disciples of people. You and I wouldn't be here today if somebody didn't share out of their life how to become a Christian. We would have never known. So it always takes somebody to help share that message, but reality check, we all want it to be someone else to do that. Aren't there people we pay in the church to go around and tell people how to become Christians? Yeah, I'd rather do that many times. I heard a very interesting story. A fellow by the name of Billy Hanks wrote some discipleship materials. He was at the airport a few years back, and he saw this person sitting by themselves over there, another businessman, and he kind of had one of those impressions, you know, how you wonder where these thoughts come from. But he had this impression that the Lord had said to him, Billy, you need to go talk to that guy. And being a good guy, Billy said, not me. That's, God wouldn't want me to go talk to him. And he read his paper, read his book. They're waiting, listening to the airplane announcements. And the impression came back. He says, you really need to sit down and spend a little time with that guy. Talk to your wife. And so he turns to his wife and he says, you know, this is the craziest thing in all the world, but I think God may want me to talk to that fellow over there. I look at him and I've caught him looking at me a time or two. And what is up with this? And he and his wife talked about it and they said, well, you know what? Go up to the desk and let's see if we can rearrange the flight. There's another flight in an hour and a half. Let's take that one. And so what actually happened is, after shrugging it off a few times, the compulsion to speak to this gentleman grew stronger. And so he went up to that fellow and he said, sir, he said, I don't know you and I know you don't know me, but this may sound funny, but I have a personal message from God for you. And I've rearranged my flights so that I have an extra 90 minutes of time. Would it be all right if I sat down and talked with you about the Lord? And that fella said, well, isn't that amazing? Because I've been looking here today. Who could I talk to about the burden on my heart? And what ended up happening that day is Billy Hanks postponed his reservation so that he could help another man make a reservation in heaven. There's a lot about that story that has stuck with me over the years. In our modern day, the first question that comes to mind is, what right did he have to say that I have a message from God for you? You know, that's the stuff they make funny movies about today, isn't it? The Blues Brothers, a message from God. But reality check. Billy Hanks didn't need skywriting. He didn't need a personal text from heaven. He had standing orders in the Word of God that we are to always be looking for opportunities to let people know about the hope that we have. We're the ones who are to be sharing the hope with other people. I think it was also very interesting, that divine appointment. You know, sometimes God does give us impressions. Sometimes it's the pepperoni you had on your pizza last night. It's always hard to know which is it. Is God calling me to speak to somebody, or am I reading myself into that? But ladies and gentlemen, I would much rather be considered foolish by saying, hey, is there something going on in your world that you'd like to talk about? Well, the worst they can say is, no, mind your own business. Well, I've been told that many times. It's not going to hurt anything. But I always thought that was so important because Billy Hanks said that wasn't really a big deal. What made that significant was being willing to be obedient in the moment where God opened up the door of opportunity. When I was in high school, and this goes back a ways, we used to actually carry books and notebooks from one class to another. Do any of you remember doing that? The young ones now, it's all online, and they've got tablets and Blackboard and all that. But it was a big deal in our youth group to say, would you take a stand in your school for Christ by carrying your Bible with your textbooks? And I remember the musical that was there one day. It was about a teenage kid who was asked to stand up and give a word for Christ in his classroom. And the name of the song where he talked about that was called, I'd Rather Go to Africa. See, the idea was either you had to be a missionary in Africa or you had to be a missionary in your school. And the kid is saying, I'd rather go to Africa. Send me far, far. Me stand up in my class in front of my friends. Well, I had an English teacher who was very progressive, had recently come out of her college experience, which there was a lot of partying going on in her world. And back in the day, you see, what's sad is this isn't even an issue now, but there was a lot of debate about abortion, about using abortion as birth control. And my progressive English teacher, who was fresh out of her college experience, obviously had a desire to kind of influence the younger generations in one direction. And she brought up a discussion topic about why abortion ought to be this great thing in our world. And everybody looked at me because I was the Joe who had the Bible on top of his pile of textbooks. What do you say about that, Gilmore? I'm just trying to pass, you know? Don't. But it got real quiet, and everybody looked my way, and I didn't touch it. I just had it on my desk. And I said, well, guys, if every life has a plan and a purpose, and this is what I said, and this book says it does, it seems that it would not be a good thing to preempt or take away that life from its intended purpose. That's all I said. The discussion went on. As we were leaving class, the teacher stopped me and said, Gary, nobody in my experience, has ever come close to explaining why the Bible or God has anything to do with this issue. I did not change the world that day. I didn't change anybody's mind. But I took the truth of what that book says, and I used my life and my mouth to bear testimony to that. And that's it. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to say to you that while it's good to memorize witnessing tools, while it's good to know or mark a New Testament that has some verses that you can go to, because you are not alone, the preacher draws a blank when somebody comes up and hears a moment and somebody asks a question. And I don't know every answer, but the two words I want you to take away today are the words truth and testimony. All we need to do to share our faith is hold up the truth and tell how it relates to our life. The truth is in this book. We've been talking about in salvation, we learn to say what God says. The truth about Jesus is found in the Bible. The truth about God's plan is in Genesis. It goes from creation to consummation. It tells of Jesus who came at Christmas in a manger, and he died on the cross at Easter, and he rose again from the dead on Easter Sunday morning. It also tells the truth about us. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We think we've got all the answers, but the reality is we're messed up. And that's because of sin in our lives. And the only way to deal with sin in our lives is God's way to deal with sin in our lives. And the truth that you and I come and study in our Bible study classes, or we come here expounded in Sunday worship services like this, it is a testimony to the truth. Jesus has something to say about our world. I am so tired of talking back to the evening news. I get so angry, I talk to my TV. I think I'm losing it. Don't ask Susan her opinion. Please. And when I know a story's coming up, I say, why don't you go see what's in the kitchen? Because I'm going to get mad at that. You know? Ladies and gentlemen, the answer is not found on the evening news, for sure. It's not found on Oprah's show. It's not found on late night with whatever weird guy is on there. Now, it's not found on Saturday. The word is, this is the answer for our lives. To the degree that you're living this and studying this and learning this and making it real in your own life, this is the truth. It doesn't say everything about date and time, but there's enough in here. Hey, you having trouble at home? Read this book. You having trouble in your wallet? Read this book. You having trouble in the extended family? Read this book. Is there trouble down at City Hall? Read this book. You know what's got the world so confused today? Is all the people who say they read this book don't act like they read this book. And now I'm jumping into a second point, so good luck, Zach. If it seems to fit, throw it up there, okay? My point is, Jesus Christ has something to say about your wallet, about your marriage, about your family, about raising your children, about what ought to be taught in the schools or what not ought to be taught, what is right and what is wrong, what is worthy of our time and attention, and what is just the garbage of this life. And it's up to us to open the book and read and practice the truth. And then we bear testimony to it. Here's Mindy, I'm just going to call you out. Thank you so much for being honest with us about how it hurt to say goodbye to Dad and Mom. And yet, because of the truth, you can stand up here and sing and let us know about hope. That is witnessing. And I know others of you are walking through valleys, and it's tough. Sometimes there's more month than there's money. Sometimes there's more good ideas than there's the ability to do. Sometimes it just seems like everything is crossways, and the longer we're together, the worse it gets. That isn't why we got married, but that's real. This book talks about it. And you don't have to have it all put together. It never says you got to be perfect before you can ever open your mouth and help somebody else. Listen, witnessing about Jesus is one beggar telling another beggar where to go find bread. This, you know what? If you get the idea that I got it all put together and I come up here and I'm pointing my finger telling you how to live, you are totally missing where I think I'm coming from. I struggle with this stuff. I wrestle with it all week long. I try to make sense of a few little pieces that I can bring before us and we can put it all together. And by sharing that, it is my prayer that the Jesus who showed me what's going on in the world out of the truth here, that it's important for me, it's probably important for you too. The grace that I get that helps me at my house is the same grace God gives you to help you at your house. All we're doing is bearing testimony to the truth. As a chaplain, I'm trying to, We were in Jeff City this week, and we're raising up a volunteer chaplain corps about people who can go into a Joplin situation. What do you say to somebody? Where's God in a Joplin situation? Why did God take my loved one? Why did everything I worked for all my life? Here it is, a pile of toothpicks. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus has something to say about that. Did not Jesus say, isn't your life more than the stuff you own? If you got food and clothing, shouldn't we be content? God so arrayed the birds of the field, you're worried about your net worth, the realities. You're worth so much more to your Heavenly Father. You just haven't figured that out yet. You're stuck in the stuff. Now, I gotta say to you honestly, I'm not going to walk into some person who's crying over the loss of their home and the family memories and all that and said, you know what, if you were a better Christian, I think you would have had all this figured out by now. I don't think that's what we're at. No, no, no. But there's an aha moment, and hey, it happens to you and I when we go to the doctor or when we smack up our car that we're making all these payments on. Or when something goes wrong with the appliance, that freezer especially, that collection of rainy day stuff you've been getting ready for, and the power went out for 3 days, and it's all ruined now. Doesn't God have a way of touching our lives in such a way that says, hey, Jesus said, I don't love you because of your stuff. I don't use you because you give money to church. Your life is so much more than the things that you have. The things that matter most are the stuff you pay often the least amount of attention to. Jesus called the man who said, I am so prosperous, I'm going to build a bigger barn. And Jesus said, you fool, your soul is required of you tonight. Are you ready for that one? And so I've been looking back over my messages. And we're going to bring it in for a landing here. I'm looking back over my messages, and I'm kind of going, golly, Gary, people are going to think you don't like them because you are ragging on the Christians all the time. You're darn tootin' I am, and here's why. Nobody has come up to me in the hallway and said, hey, Pastor, I just want you to know, I read again how Jesus died on the cross for me and save my soul. And I want you to know, no matter what else happens to me, I want you to know that heaven is my home and I am sure of it. Bring it on, life. Nobody stops me in the hallway and says, man, I was just reading the other day over here and there was this verse. It's like God put it in the Bible just for me. I've been having this struggle in this work relationship, but God showed me this is what I'm supposed to do. And I want you to know, preacher, Monday morning I'm going to work and I'm going to practice what this preaches. Ladies and gentlemen, if we're not excited about our salvation, if we are not growing spiritually, if we are not using our gift to serve, if we are not a good steward of what God has given us, if we're not learning the lessons that come from suffering, we got nothing to share. Why doesn't the church grow? Why don't the people grow? If the people grow, the church will grow. You know why? Because as you take that and it becomes the overflow of your life, you don't have to have the Roman road. You don't have to have the Mark Bible verses. You got to have an authentic walk with Jesus Christ and it'll bust out of your life. And people are so broke and hurting for that, they want to talk to you. So one final story and we'll quit. And if they're watching out back on the Facebook, they better get the grill going because we are on our way, okay? When I went to chaplain school for the Army long, long ago, again, that Star Wars stuff, it's like long, long ago. I understand. I got to be the roommate of a Catholic priest. Not just any Catholic priest, a Catholic lawyer priest. A Catholic lawyer priest who was trained at the Vatican. And so here's little Baptist Gary from Podunk Holler Rural Missouri Church. And he's with Mr. Vatican trained legal. He can argue theology, church doctrine, church history. In his world where he's coming from, he sure got me outgunned. And so we're roommates and we're learning, and it's good. About 2 weeks into our 6 weeks of training, he says, "Gilmore, I do not understand you." I go, "What?" "What?" He says, "You don't drink. You don't chew. You don't smoke. You're not running around on your wife when you're 1,000 miles away from her." He says, "You don't have any fun at all." And I looked at him, I said, "Hey, Father, you know what's better? Is I want everyone in the world to be like me." No, he says, "Really?" He says, "There's other Baptists here at this school, but you're not like them. All those other people are using their Bible as a club, and all they're doing is walking around so they can say gotcha and tell everybody else how they ought to live. You're not doing that. You're like actually studying the Bible, and you want to learn from it and do it." I said to him, "I don't know if you know it or not, but I think you gave me one of the greatest compliments I've ever had in my whole life. I don't know about anybody else. I know I have so much that there is for me to learn. But I do know that every time I open this book and I humble myself, not only before the Lord, but for the truth of this, and I measure my life not against anybody else, but against this. And then I have the courage to say, I'm not doing that very good. But God is helping me with this, and I am growing in this, and I am learning in this, and I want to keep growing in this way. Oh, Lord, will you help me walk the walk?" And then as God brings people into my life along the way, it's amazing how God brought me to a point where I can say, "Hey, I don't know about you. Have you ever? Jesus has something to say about what you're going through too. This is what it meant to me." I find that is a credible witness. We are sharing our faith. And the issue is not motivating you to be guilty or to mark your Bible or to have a little canned presentation. The real motivation for you and I, my friends, is that we have got to be in the Word and practicing the Word and living the Word and growing in the Word and letting the overflow of our lives touch other people and draw them in. Salvation.